Extracts from Letters and Manuscripts on the Training and Work of Medical Missionaries. Files of 1902 to 1905 drawn from. H-291-04, October 12, 1904. If the Lord has ever spoken by me, He speaks when I say that the workers engaged in educational lines, in ministerial lines, and in medical missionary lines must stand as a unit, all laboring under the supervision of God, one helping the other, each blessing each. Those connected with them, our schools and sanitariums, are to labor with earnest alacrity. The work that is done under the ministration of the Holy Spirit, out of love for God and for humanity, will bear the signature of God and will make its impression on human minds. We do not look upon you, my brother, as a man who has put only half of his heart into this grand work. We take the opposite view of this, knowing that you put heart, mind, soul, and strength into your work. The only fear that I have had in regard to you is that you will try to carry too heavy a burden. Those who put their whole soul into the medical missionary work, who labor untiringly, in peril, in privation, in watchings oft, in weariness and painfulness, are in danger of forgetting that they must be faithful guardians of their own mental and physical powers. They are not to allow themselves to be overtaxed, but they are filled with zeal and earnestness, and they sometimes move unadvisedly, putting themselves under too heavy a strain. Unless such workers make a change, the result will be that sickness will come upon them, and they will break down. While God's workers are to be filled with a noble enthusiasm, and with a determination to follow the example of the divine worker, the great medical missionary, they are not to crowd too many things into the day's work. If they do, they will soon have to leave the work entirely, broken down because they have tried to carry too heavy a load. My brother, it is right for you to make the best use of the advantages given you of God in earnest efforts for the relief of suffering and for the saving of souls. But do not sacrifice your health. We have a calling as much higher than common, selfish interests as the heavens are higher than the earth. But this thought should not lead the willing, hard-working servants of God to carry all the burdens they can possibly bear, without periods of rest. How grand it would be if among all who were engaged in carrying out God's wonderful plan for the salvation of souls, there were no idlers. How much more would be accomplished if everyone would say, God holds me accountable to be wide awake and to let my efforts speak in favor of the truth I profess to believe. I am to be a practical worker, not a daydreamer. It is because there are so many daydreamers that true workers have to carry double burdens. It is the part of a medical missionary to minister to the needs of the soul as well as to the needs of the body. The precious truth of Christ's power to save, spoken in season, will give hope and courage and may save both soul and body. The Lord waters and watches over the seed thus sown. The promises of the Bible, repeated to those who are sick and discouraged, will be the means of saving many souls. The Holy Spirit cooperates with the worker who labors in the fear and love of God. God gives such workers wisdom and success. We need as workers to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. As workers together with God, we are to draw souls to Christ. We are to remember that we each have a special part to act in the Master's service. Oh, how much good the members of the church might accomplish if they realize the responsibility resting upon them to point those with whom they come in contact to the Redeemer. When church members shall disinterestedly engage in the work given them of God, a much stronger influence will be exerted in behalf of souls ready to die, and much stronger efforts will be put forth in medical missionary lines. When every member of the church does his part faithfully, the workers in the field will be helped and encouraged, and the cause of God will move forward with power. Let the ministers of the gospel and the workers in medical missionary lines labor in perfect harmony. May God help you, my brother, to be cheerful, to look on the bright side. Study the 12th chapter of Romans. It points out the unity, the sympathy, the kindness, the unselfish love that is to exist amongst God's workers. As we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. To stand as God's witness. W105-04, March 1, 1904. Definite instruction has been given concerning the part that medical missionary workers are to act in the work of God. They are to stand as God's witnesses, to represent the work of the great medical missionary, Jesus Christ, God's gift to our world to save men from the very mistakes that have brought the rebuke of God upon this people. Not a thread of selfishness is to be woven into the web. The truth, practiced and taught, will lead to the conversion of some. G. 3305, January 23, 05. Seeking to treat the sick by correct methods and to impart to those coming to the institution the sound doctrine of the gospel. Under the hallowed influence of such teachings, souls will be converted. The truth practiced and taught by medical missionaries will be received in the heart of some and will lead to conversion and the establishment in the heart of the true principles of righteousness. To engage in soul saving in our sanitariums. B. 9705, March 14, 05. Let all connected with this sanitarium, Glendale, keep in mind the purpose for which this property has been secured. The institution is to act a special part in bringing souls to Christ, leading them to love God and keep His commandments. Unless the workers have a living connection with God, unless there is seen in the institution a spirit of kindness and compassion, which will recommend Bible truth and win souls to Christ, the establishment of the sanitarium will have been in vain. Spiritual as well as physical healing is to be brought to those who come for healing. You may do a precious work in letting the light of present truth shine forth in clear rays. Remember that you are doing a work for time and for eternity. You should have an ever-increasing faith in the promises of God's Word. It is your privilege to seek wisdom and help from God. Come to the Savior in humility, confessing your sins and seeking for strength and grace. The Holy Spirit enlightens the mind of the one who depends on the merits of a crucified and risen Savior, and indites a prayer of confession and repentance that is acceptable to the Lord. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us, with groanings that cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. In every sanitarium there must be kept before all in the institution the principles of true service. From the institution is to go forth light and knowledge. All connected with it are to act their part intelligently, as representatives of the truth for this time. It is that they may be trained to do true missionary work that young people are brought to our sanitariums. If you will cooperate with God, He will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your reward. Heavenly angels will break forth into singing as souls receive the great gift of God through Jesus Christ. You may assure the sick and afflicted that Christ is the healer. They may believe on Him and trust in His word, for it will never fail. God invests with holy dignity those who go forth in His power to heal the sick. General Instruction. K. 203-05, July 18, 1905. Advantage should be taken of these opportunities to establish and extend gospel medical missionary work. For time is short, and we must sow the seeds of health reform principles. I have been instructed that we are not to delay to do the work that needs to be done in health reform lines. Through this work, we are to reach souls in the highways and byways. I have been given special light that in our sanitariums, many souls will receive and obey present truth. In these institutions, men and women are to be taught how to care for their own bodies, and at the same time, how to become sound in the faith. They are to be taught what is meant by eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Son of God. Said Christ, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life."
Our sanitariums are to be schools in which instruction shall be given in medical missionary lines. They are to bring to sin-sick souls the leaves of the tree of life, which will restore to them peace and hope and faith in Christ Jesus. Forbid not those who have a desire to extend this work. Let the light shine forth. All worthy health productions will create an interest in health reform. Forbid them not. The Lord would have all opportunities to extend the work taken advantage of. By means of such an institution, hundreds would become enlightened in regard to present truth. We need to give all the publicity we possibly can to the work God desires to have done. The seeds of truth are to be sown beside all waters. Let the Lord's work go forward. Let the medical missionary and the educational work go forward. I am sure that this is our great lack: earnest, devoted, intelligent, capable workers. In every large city, there should be a representation of true medical missionary work. The principles of genuine health reform are to be brought out in clear lines, in our health publications, and in lectures delivered to the patients in our sanitariums. In every city, there are men and women who would go to a sanitarium were it near at hand, who would not be able to go to one a long way off. There are many who will be convicted and converted who now appear indifferent. I look at this matter in a very decided light. Let many now ask, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" It is the Lord's purpose that his method of healing without drugs shall be brought into prominence in every large city through our medical institutions. God invests with holy dignity those who go forth farther and still farther, in every place to which it is possible to obtain entrance. Satan will make the work as difficult as possible, but divine power will attend all true-hearted workers. Guided by our Heavenly Father's hand, let us go forward, improving every opportunity to extend the work of God. We shall have to labor under difficulties, but because of this, let not our zeal flag. The Bible does not acknowledge a believer who is idle, however high his profession may be. There will be employment in heaven. The redeemed state is not one of idle repose. There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God, but it is a rest found in loving service. Some among the redeemed will have laid hold of Christ in the last hours of life, and in heaven instruction will be given to these ones, who, when they died, did not understand perfectly the plan of salvation. Christ will lead the redeemed ones beside the river of life, and will open to them that which while on this earth they could not understand. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Thank God! Thank God! Let us improve every opportunity to reach poor, suffering, sin-sick souls with the message of salvation. Let the precious light of truth be shed abroad. In the early days, the workers were medical missionaries, and the power of God was manifest in the healing of the sick. 05, July 5, 1905. The end of all things is at hand. The signs foretold by Christ are fast fulfilling. The nations are angry, and the time of the dead has come that they should be judged. There are stormy times before us, but let us not utter one word of unbelief or discouragement. Let us remember that we bear a message of healing to a world filled with sin-sick souls. You will remember the poverty that we met when starting the work in New England, in Boston, New Bedford, and other places. But the difficulties we encountered only made us unite in pushing forward the harder, and we have not forgotten what wonderful victories the Lord gave us. How many times there came upon us trials that almost overpowered us. In every place, heresies came in, and every conceivable error strove for entrance. What were our weapons? Faith and prayer. We were medical missionaries, and we realized the fulfillment of the promise, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." How manifest was the power of God in healing the sick! What rejoicing, what thanksgiving was heard! We never thought in those days that we should have institutions for healing the sick. We did not suppose that time would last long enough for us to build meeting houses. But all over the United States we now have sanitariums, and a large corps of intelligent physicians are working earnestly to present the principles of health reform and to point souls to Christ. In those early days, how many seasons of fervent prayer were held? A holy, submissive, Christ-like spirit was breathed upon us, for we knew that the Savior was with us. No one was instructed to spend years in preparation for the work to be done. Practical, earnest knowledge was imparted. There was seen the faith that works by love and purifies the soul. Few today are better armed and equipped for service than were the workers of that time. Christianity was seen to be the exemplification of the Holy Spirit's working on human hearts. God's wonderful, miracle-working power was exercised according to our faith. The manifest revealing of the grace of Christ carried a deeper conviction to souls than the logic of man could possibly have carried. Medical missionaries and ministers to meet together to study Bible. K-2304, December 1903. A Bible Institute should be held in some place where medical missionary workers and ministers may meet together to study the Scriptures. Let the Bible explain its own statements. Accept it just as it reads, without twisting the words to suit human ideas. What is the chaff to the wheat? To be a medical missionary means to be a laborer together with God. MS 139-02, September 15-02. The Lord has given me these words to speak and write over and over again, until a decided adherence to the principles of truth shows that men have been called to repentance. A grand side of the work of God is revealed by the words, medical missionary. To be a medical missionary means to be a laborer together with God. Medical missionary work, a work that is to be a great help and strength to the cause, is to be carried forward in all carefulness and wisdom. Into this work, not one thread is to be drawn that will spoil the beautiful pattern that God designs shall be worked out. The medical missionary work is God's own work, and it is to be controlled by no human power. Human agencies are to act as the Lord's helping hand, guided and controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not one act is to be done that will dishonor the work. Mistakes will be made. But let men be very careful how they bear down upon those who have made mistakes. Sometimes the one who treats the erring with little mercy has made mistakes far more grievous in the sight of God than those made by the one whom he so unsparingly condemns. Under the Lord's special guidance, some things have been done that are contrary to the specified directions laid down by men. Unseen agencies were guiding in another way than that marked out by human wisdom. Then, let men be careful how they call their brethren to account, as though they were in God's place. The Lord has heard the humiliating censure that had been given to those who had not rebellion in their hearts, who thought they were doing just what they were told to do. The Lord saw that His work would be marred if the directions given by men were followed, and He guided the minds of the workers to do the work in the very way that He wished it done. The workers did not follow the plan laid out by men, because God had a better plan for them. The divine guiding produced the right result. I am instructed to say to our ministers and medical missionary workers, be careful what spirit you manifest to one another. The training of medical missionaries, not properly understood. B 210-03, September 21st, 03. The Lord calls upon our young people to enter our schools and quickly fit themselves for service. In various places, outside of the cities, schools are to be established, where our youth can receive an education that will prepare them to go forth to do evangelical work and medical missionary work. The Lord must be given an opportunity to show men their duty and to work upon their minds. No one is to bind himself to serve for a term of years under the direction of one group of men or in one specified branch of the Master's work. For the Lord Himself will call men, as of old He called the humble fishermen, and will Himself give them instructions regarding their field of labor and the methods they should follow. He will call men from the plow and from other occupations to give the last note of warning to perishing souls. There are many ways in which to work for the Master, and the great Teacher will open the understanding of these workers, enabling them to see wondrous things in His Word. I have repeatedly been instructed that no one should be advised to pledge himself to spend 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 years under any one man's supervision. Let students stand where they can follow the will of God. Their service belongs to Him. Their capabilities and talents are to be refined, purified, ennobled. In this lower school, the school of earth, they are to be prepared for translation into the school of heaven, where their education will be continued under the personal supervision of Christ, the great Teacher, who will lead them beside the living waters and open to them the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The training of medical missionaries. Medical missionary work is yet in its infancy. The meaning of genuine medical missionary work is known by but few. Why? Because the Savior's plan of work has not been followed. God's money has been misapplied. In many places, practical evangelistic medical missionary work is not being done. But many of the workers who should go forth, as did the disciples, are being collected together and held in a few places, as they have been in the past, notwithstanding the Lord's warning that this should not be. Many of the men and women who should be out in the field, working as medical missionary evangelists, helping those engaged in the gospel ministry, are collected in Battle Creek, acting over the same program that has been acted over in the past, confining the forces, binding them up in one place. God has spoken against this by sending His judgments upon the institutions in Battle Creek, but notwithstanding this, every movement on the part of those striving to heed the warnings by laboring to change the order of things has been made very hard because of the misconception of some regarding the way in which the medical missionary work should be carried forward. God has not given us the work of erecting immense sanitariums to be used as health resorts for all who may come. Neither is it His purpose that medical missionary workers shall spend a long term of years in college before they enter the field. To build up a school in Battle Creek, as some of our people there desire, would tend to counterwork the influence that God has declared should be exerted on His people in these last days of this earth's history. The interests that the Lord has declared should not remain in Battle Creek are not now to be brought back and re-established there. Much of the force that would be needed to carry forward there, amidst many disadvantages, the work of these interests, should be used in doing gospel medical missionary work in the large cities still unworked. Break up the large centers has been the word of the Lord. Carry the light to many places. Those who are desirous of receiving a training for effective medical missionary work should understand that large sanitariums will be conducted so much like institutions of the world that students laboring in such sanitariums cannot obtain a systematic training for Christian medical missionary work. The proclamation of the truth in all parts of the world calls for small sanitariums in many places, not in the heart of cities, but in places where city influence will be as little felt as possible. I am obliged to say that the making of so large a plant in Battle Creek and the calling together of those who should be engaged in medical missionary work in many places is doing just what God has specified should not be done. The fact that many patients are coming to the new sanitarium at Battle Creek is not to be read as a sign that the planning for so large a work there was for the best. To this large institution will come many men and women who are not really sick. Workers will be required to wait on them. Our nurses will become the servants of worldly men and women who are not inclined to piety or religion. But this is not the work that God has given to His medical missionaries. Our charge has been given us by the greatest medical missionary that this world has ever seen. Standing but a step from His Father's throne, Christ said to His disciples, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Go ye into all the world," He said, "and preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Let our ministers who have gained an experience in preaching the word learn how to give simple treatments, and then labor intelligently as medical missionary evangelists. Workers, gospel medical missionaries, are needed now. We cannot afford to spend years in preparation. Soon, doors now open to the truth will be forever closed. Carry the message now. Do not wait, allowing the enemy to take possession of fields now open before you. Let little companies go forth to do the work to which Christ appointed His disciples. Let them labor as evangelists, scattering our publications and talking of the truth to those they meet. Let them pray for the sick, ministering to their necessities not with drugs, but with nature's remedies, and teaching them how to regain health and avoid disease. Let the workers remember always that they are dependent on God. Let them not trust in human wisdom, but in the wisdom of the One who declares, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Let them go forth two and two, depending upon God, not on man, for wisdom and success. Let them search the Scriptures, and then present the truths of God's Word to others. Let them be guided by the principles that Christ has laid down. Privileges and Opportunities of a Gospel Medical Missionary. J. 228-03, October 19, 03. God's purpose for us is that we shall ever move upward. Even in the smaller duties of common life, we are to make continual growth in grace, supplied with high and holy motives, powerful because they proceed from the One who gave His life to furnish us with the incentive to be wholly successful in the formation of Christian character. You are to be strong in the strength of God, grounded in the hope of the gospel. You are acquainted with God's requirements, and I beg of you not to remain a weakling. You possess qualifications that, if rightly used, would make you a blessing in the world. Arise in your God-given dignity, living the truth in its purity. Christ is ready to pardon you, to take away your sins, and make you free. He is ready to purify your heart and give you the sanctification of His Spirit. As you commit yourself to His service, He will be at your right hand to help you. Day by day you will be strengthened and ennobled. Looking to the Savior for help, you will be a conqueror, yes, more than a conqueror, over the temptations that beset you. You will become more and more like Christ. The angels of heaven will rejoice to see you standing on the Lord's side, in righteousness and true holiness. I am very hopeful that you will become all that the Lord desires you to be, a gospel medical missionary. You are to be not only an increasingly skillful physician, but one of the Lord's appointed missionaries, in all your work placing His service first. Let nothing mar your peace. Give your heart's best and holiest affections to Him who gave His life that you might be among the redeemed family in the heavenly courts. Striving for the crown of life will not make you dissatisfied or less useful. The great teacher desires to acknowledge you as His helping hand. He calls for your cooperation. Will you not now give Him all that you have and are? Will you not consecrate your talents to His service? Medical Missionaries to Unite with Ministers. MS 4604, May 18, 04. My brethren, the Lord calls for unity, for oneness. We are to be one in the faith. I want to tell you that when the gospel ministers and the medical missionary workers are not united, there is placed on our churches the worst evil that can be placed there. Our medical missionaries ought to be interested in the work of our conferences, and our conference workers ought to be as much interested in the work of our medical missionaries. Everyone to work as Christ worked. MS 9403. Copied August 27, 03. Our youth are not to be bound about so that they cannot develop. They should daily be given the highest motives to advance. They should attend our schools, and the teachers should work with them and pray with them. They should leave these schools true medical missionaries, firmly bound up with the gospel ministry. Our churches, who have a deep interest in the children and youth, and in the work of training workers to carry forward the work essential for this time, need not blunder, for God will open ways before all who are perfecting Christian characters. He will have places ready for them in which to begin to do true missionary work. It was to prepare workers for this work that our schools and sanitariums were established. I say to our people, let not those on whom we must depend to do gospel missionary work in places where the truth should be represented be drawn away by any pretense from their work. The cause of God needs the very best workers. God's workers are ever to cherish a clear idea of what is constituted by pure and undefiled religion. In the cities where the truth is to be established, there will be needed workers of Bible faith and practice. The work of God is to be carried forward in the South, and the youth whose talents make them most desired in Battle Creek are to be ready to step into the places prepared for them in institutions where they can obtain a training for work without being thrown into the companionship of worldly people who know not God and whose wrong sentiments will leaven the minds of those with whom they are brought in contact. We cannot afford to allow the minds of our youth to be thus leavened, for it is on these youth that we must depend to carry forward the work in the future. I call upon the presidents of our conferences to exert their God-given influence to open the fields that have never yet been worked. These fields stand as a reproach to our people. Organize your work intelligently, and then proceed to action. Let your simplicity of speech and your simplicity and neatness of dress speak of your work as missionaries. Educational advantages will be provided, and the Lord will go before those who will take up the work in the spirit of self-sacrifice. Study the life and teachings of Christ. Men may bid for your services, offering large inducements. Remember that Christ paid for you the price of his own life, and that you are not your own. You are to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. Everyone to work as Christ worked. C 117:03, copied June 24, 03. Christ stood at the head of humanity in the garb of humanity. So full of sympathy and love was his attitude that the poorest was not afraid to come to him. He was kind to all, easily approached by the most lowly. He went from house to house, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, comforting the mourners, soothing the afflicted, speaking peace to the distressed. He took the little children in his arms and blessed them, and spoke words of hope and comfort to the weary mothers. With unfailing tenderness and gentleness, he met every form of human woe and affliction. Not for himself, but for others did he labor. He was willing to humble himself, to deny himself. He did not seek to distinguish himself. He was the servant of all. It was his meat and drink to be a comfort and a consolation to others, to gladden the sad and heavy-laden ones with whom he daily came in contact. Christ stands before us as the pattern man, the great medical missionary, an example for all who should come after. His love, pure and holy, blessed all who came within the sphere of its influence. His character was absolutely perfect, free from the slightest stain of sin. He came as an expression of the perfect love of God, not to crush, not to judge and condemn, but to heal every weak, defective character, to save men and women from Satan's power. He is the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of the human race. He gives to all the invitation, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." What, then, is the example that we are to set to the world? We are to do the same work that the great medical missionary undertook in our behalf. We are to follow the path of self-sacrifice trodden by Christ. As I see so many claiming to be medical missionaries, the representation of what Christ was on this earth flashes before me. As I think of how far short the workers today fall when compared with the divine example, my heart is bowed down with a sorrow that words cannot express. Will men and women ever do a work that bears the features and character of the great medical missionary? Is there not woe enough in this sin-stricken, sin-cursed earth to lead us to consecrate ourselves to the work of proclaiming the message that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This earth has been trodden by the Son of God. He came to bring men light and life, to set them free from the bondage of sin. He is coming again in power and great glory, to receive to himself those who during this life have followed in his footsteps. Oh, how I long to see those who claim to be medical missionaries honoring the great exemplar, whose life declares what is comprehended in the claim to be a medical missionary. I would that they were learning the Savior's meekness and lowliness. My heart aches to think that Christ is so greatly disappointed in his followers. They bear a name that their daily life does not give them the right to bear. We must be sanctified, soul and body, through the truth. Then we shall honor the name, medical missionary. Oh, this name means so much. It calls for a representation altogether different from the representation given by many who bear it. Soon, these will understand how far they have departed from the principles of heaven, and how greatly they have grieved the heart of Christ. Everyone to work as Christ worked. K. 181:03, September 2, 03. The real end of the gospel is to develop in human beings supreme, sanctified love for God and unselfish love for one another. This love is not a fitful impulse. It is not merely the exercise of benevolence or philanthropy. It is the fruit of a heart purified from all defilement. The gospel was made known by God to raise human beings from sin to righteousness. He who receives the gospel constantly reaches out for the divine, perseveringly taking hold of the strength of the Savior. His heart is an abiding place for the Holy Spirit. Day by day he shows forth the praises of him who has called him out of darkness into his marvelous light. Does not this help you to see the full significance of being a gospel medical missionary? Everyone who bears the name of medical missionary is to work as Christ worked. The love of Christ in his heart is to make him an example to others. He is to serve the Lord with all humility of mind, doing his appointed work to accomplish not his own ends, but God's purpose. Medical missionaries to be thoroughly educated in Bible lines. J. 178:03, August 2, 03. The very same reasons that were given for the removal of the old Battle Creek College from Battle Creek should now lead our brethren to decide to train in other places the youth who now expect to prepare themselves for medical missionary work. Those who expect to become medical missionary workers must be thoroughly educated in Bible lines. They should have the very best spiritual advantages, in order that they may be fitted to teach and to train others. My brother, I am surprised that you are found asleep on this point. I declare unto you, in the name of the Lord, that the arrangements being made for the training of medical missionaries in Battle Creek are not right. A great work is to be done in a short time, and God forbids that we should encourage so many of our youth to bind themselves up for 3 or 4 or 6 years of training before engaging in active work. Men and women should gain an education by working along practical lines in different places, in accordance with the light that God has given, and under the instruction of experienced leaders. Medical missionary work as a door to large cities. K. 233:05, August 9, 05. May the Lord increase our faith and help us to see that he desires us all to become acquainted with his ministry of healing and with the mercy seat. He desires the light of his grace to shine forth from many places. We are living in the last days. Troublous times are before us. He who understands the necessities of the situation arranges that advantages should be brought to the workers in various places, to enable them more effectually to arouse the attention of the people. He knows the needs and the necessities of the feeblest of his flock, and he sends his own message into the highways and byways. He loves us with an everlasting love. There are souls in many places who have not yet heard the message. Henceforth, medical missionary work is to be carried forward with an earnestness with which it has never yet been done. This work is the door through which the truth is to find entrance to the large cities, and sanitariums are to be established in many places. The Lord speaks to all medical missionaries, saying, Go work today in my vineyard to save souls. God hears the prayers of all who seek Him in truth. He has the power that we all need. He fills the heart with love and joy and peace and holiness. Character is constantly being developed. We cannot afford to spend time working at cross purposes with God. There are physicians who, because of a past connection with our sanitariums, find it profitable to locate close to them, and they close their eyes to the great fields neglected and unworked in which unselfish labor would be a blessing to many. Missionary physicians can exert an uplifting, refining, sanctifying influence. Physicians who do not do this abuse their power and do a work that the Lord repudiates. The Purpose of Medical Missionary Work. H305-05, October 27, 05. Sanitarium work is one of the most successful means of reaching all classes of people. Our sanitariums are the right hand of the gospel, opening ways whereby suffering humanity may be reached with the glad tidings of healing through Christ. In these institutions, the sick may be taught to commit their cases to the great physician, who will cooperate with their earnest efforts to regain health, bringing to them healing of soul as well as healing of body. Christ is no longer in this world in person to go through our cities and towns and villages healing the sick. He has commissioned us to carry forward the medical missionary work that He began, and in this work we are to do our very best. Institutions for the care of the sick are to be established, where men and women suffering from disease may be placed under the care of God-fearing physicians and nurses, and be treated without drugs. Labor in connection with the gospel ministry. K2104, January 2, 04. I am glad that you see the evil influence of division. Had you put yourself where you should have been, there would long ago have been a united company, and a medical missionary work in connection with the gospel ministry would have had a far-reaching influence for good. This I know, for the truth has been represented to me too clearly for me to turn away from it. Make the Bible your man of counsel. Your acquaintance with it will grow rapidly if you keep your mind from rubbish. B241-03, October 17, 03. The one book that is essential for all to study is the Bible. Studied with reverence and godly fear, it is the greatest of all educators. In it, there is no sophistry. Its pages are filled with truth. Would you gain a knowledge of God and Christ, whom He sent into the world to live and die for sinners? An earnest, diligent study of the Bible is necessary in order to gain this knowledge. Many of the books piled up in the great libraries of earth confuse the mind more than they aid the understanding. Yet men spend large sums of money in the purchase of such books, and years in their study, when they have within their reach a book containing the words of Him who is the Alpha and Omega of wisdom. The time spent in a study of these books might better be spent in gaining a knowledge of Him, whom to know aright is life eternal. Those only who gain this knowledge will at last hear the words, "Ye are complete in Him." Study the Bible more, and the theories of the medical fraternities less, and you will have greater spiritual health. Your mind will be clearer and more vigorous. Much that is embraced in the medical course is positively unnecessary. Those who take a medical training spend a great deal of time in learning that which is merely rubbish. Many of the theories that they learn may be compared in value to the traditions and maxims taught by the scribes and Pharisees. Many of the intricacies with which they have to become familiar are an injury to their minds. These things God has been opening before me for years. In our medical schools and institutions, we need men who have a deeper knowledge of the Scriptures, men who have learned the lessons taught in the Word of God, and who can teach these lessons to others, clearly and simply, just as Christ taught His disciples the knowledge that He deemed most essential. If, during the remainder of this year, our medical missionary workers would follow the great physician's prescription for obtaining rest, a healing current of peace would flow through their souls. Here is the prescription. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart,
and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. When our medical missionary workers follow this prescription, gaining from the Savior power to reveal His characteristics, their scientific work will have a greater soundness. Because the Word of God has been neglected, strange things have been done in the medical missionary work of late. The Lord cannot accept the present showing. Study the Word, which God in His wisdom and love and goodness has made so plain and simple. The 6th chapter of John tells us that what is meant by a study of the Word. The principles revealed in the Scriptures are to be brought home to the soul. We are to eat the Word of God, that is, we are not to depart from its precepts. We are to bring its truths into our daily lives, grasping the mysteries of godliness.
Pray to God, commune with Him. Prove the very mind of God as those who are striving for eternal life and who must have a knowledge of His will. You can reveal the truth only as you know it in Christ. You are to receive and assimilate His words. They are to become part of yourselves. This is what is meant by eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Son of God. You are to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, that is, what God has revealed. Not all has been revealed. We could not bear such a revelation. But God has revealed all that is necessary for our salvation. We are not to leave His word for the suppositions of men. Obtain an experimental knowledge of God by wearing the yoke of Christ. He gives wisdom to the meek and lowly, enabling them to judge of what is truth, bringing to light the why and wherefore, pointing out the results of certain actions. The Holy Spirit teaches the student of the Scriptures to judge all things by the standard of righteousness and truth and justice. The divine revelation supplies him with the knowledge that he needs, and the needed knowledge will be given to all who come to Christ, receiving and practicing His teachings, making His words a part of their lives. Those who place themselves under the instructions of the great medical missionary, to be workers together with him, will have a knowledge that the world, with all its traditionary lore, cannot supply. Make the Bible the man of your counsel. Your acquaintance with it will grow rapidly if you keep your mind free from the rubbish of the world. The more the Bible is studied, the deeper will be your knowledge of God. The truths of His Word will be written in your soul, making an ineffaceable impression. Not only will the student himself be benefited by a study of the Word of God, his study is life and salvation to all with whom he associates. He will feel a sacred responsibility to impart the knowledge that he receives. His life will reveal the help and strength that he receives from communion with the Word. The sanctification of the Spirit will be seen in thought, word, and deed. All that he says and does will proclaim that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Of such ones the Lord Jesus can indeed say, "Ye are laborers together with God." Nurses as Missionary Evangelists. Ms. 7103, June 18, 03. Christ the great medical missionary is our example. Of him it is written that he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and disease among the people. He healed the sick and preached the gospel. In his service, healing and teaching were linked closely together. Today they are not to be separated. The nurses in this institution, St. Helena San, are to be fitted up to go out as medical missionary evangelists, uniting the ministry of the Word with their ministry of physical healing. We must let our light shine amid the moral darkness. Many who are now in darkness, as they see a reflection of the light of the world, will realize that they have a hope of salvation. Your light may be small, but remember that it is what God has given you, and that He holds you responsible to let it shine forth. Someone may light his taper from yours, and his light may be the means of leading others out from the darkness. All around us are doors open for service. We should become acquainted with our neighbors and seek to draw them to Christ. As we do this, He will approve and cooperate with us. Often the inhabitants of a city where Christ labored wished Him to stay with them and continue to work among them. but he would tell them that he must go to cities that had not heard the truths that he had to present. After he had given the truth to those in one place, he left them to build upon what he had given them, while he went to another place. His methods of labor are to be followed today by those to whom he has left his work. We are to go from place to place, carrying the message. As soon as the truth has been proclaimed in one place, we are to go to warn others. Physicians and nurses to unite with ministers in soul-saving work. Page 200-2003, October 14th, 03. If right principles had been followed, the relation existing between the physicians and their brethren would be exactly what the Lord designed it to be. But for years an effort has been put forth to make the medical missionary work the body. God designs that the medical missionary work shall be bound up with the gospel ministry. God has chosen a people out of the world and has instructed them to remain forever separate from the world. While living in the world, they are not to be of the world. Dr. Kellogg has bound himself with worldlings by inviting them into his councils, and he has been dishonoring the sacredness of the truth by bringing worldly lawyers into connection with the work of God's people. The Lord has signified that it is his purpose to keep his people free from the contaminating influence of the world. But the leaders of the medical work at Battle Creek have been working in a way altogether different from the way marked out by the Lord. The first and the second chapters of 1 Peter are full of instruction in regard to the manner in which we should labor. I would not now speak so plainly, were it not for the intense desire I feel that our medical workers shall be molded and fashioned after the similitude of Christ, in order that all their work and their relation to God's cause may be in harmony with His purpose. God calls upon every physician and every other medical missionary worker to take his stand on the platform of truth, where he shall not be influenced by any man's false theories and wrong devising. The pure, living principles of the gospel are to be respected. God has a people in his church who are laboring just as disinterestedly to save sinners as the medical missionary workers have been laboring. He calls upon his medical missionary workers to labor unitedly with his church and not to allow any physician to control their efforts by his authority. The Lord now calls upon his people to unify. Let all our medical missionaries unite with our ministers in soul-saving work. Nothing should be allowed to stand in the way of perfect, complete unity between the medical missionary workers and the gospel ministry. God has not empowered Dr. Kellogg with spiritual grace to be a lord over all our physicians and other medical missionaries. It is time that the teachings of the great medical missionary should be brought into the life practices of our medical missionary workers. It is time that God's voice should be heard, for His words, spoken in truth, are spirit and life. He never makes a mistake. If Dr. Kellogg would unite with his ministering brethren and give them his confidence, believing that they will work as Christ works through them, then he himself could see that others should be granted the privilege of standing in their God-given lot and place, and that he should respect all whom God has called as gospel missionaries to work in his cause. Working as Christ worked, our brethren would not be divided at all. But so long as our brother determines to carry things in his own way, irrespective of the Lord's workers, as if he were the only man whom heaven could acknowledge as a leader, God is displeased. If he were to occupy his proper place, he would be respected. But never is he to be regarded as he has regarded himself, as chief of all the medical missionary workers, as one who has the privilege of consulting only those who exalt him, and of ignoring, as not worthy of acting a part in the great medical missionary work, all the gospel ministers who disapprove of some of his ideas. Companies organized and educated most thoroughly to work as nurses, as evangelists, as ministers, as canvassers. Ms. 2503, copied April 9, 03. No arrangements should be made to gather a large number of students at any one place. For just as surely as this is done, the stamp of the educator's mold will be imparted to the student's mind and character. If the mind of the teacher is radical, or if it is not complete, where it ought to be perfect through Christ Jesus, the students will show the defective stamp. There should be companies organized and educated most thoroughly to work as nurses, as evangelists, as ministers, as canvassers, as gospel students to perfect a character after the divine similitude. To prepare to receive the higher education in the school above is now to be our purpose.